Christmas. It's sentimental, I know.
Isn't that beautiful? To mention it, just such a wonderful song at this time of year, and so many sentiments in there that I think my next two guests would really talk about. Thanks, Gus, for your text. Great Christmas song. Awesome choice. Well, it was the choice of all my texters. If you have a song, Christmas song, that you love to listen to, give me a text, 0467 922 666. Also on the list that people are sending in, who's going to make the gravy? Paul Kelly. Carol of the Birds, Arana to Christmas Day, The Holly and the Ivy, So This Is Christmas. Any sort of Christian carols in there? We're going to talk next with about the non-Christians around this time of year. If you don't have a belief in the Christian tradition, how do you see Christmas? Every 1st of December, like clockwork, I start seeing Santas, sleighs and Christmas trees, as well as hearing the sounds of carol singers and bells ringing. And despite Australia's lack of snow or native reindeer, the celebration of Christmas in our country is ubiquitous. Workplaces shut down, shopping centres are packed, and families come together, as Tim Minchin described so eloquently and beautifully there, for what is traditionally a Christian celebration. But what about the 2/5 of Australians who practice other religions, or none at all? What are they doing during the festive season? So today we have Tanya Hashmi, who is a doctor and a practicing Muslim, and Stuart McMillan, who is part of Canberra's Sunday Assembly, to share what they're doing during the festive season. They've come in this morning.
Hi, Lish. How are you?
Very well. Thanks so much for coming in. What's this time of year mean to you?
I think it's really similar to what Tim Minchin said in that song, White Wine in the Sun. We love having a break. We love getting together with our family. We love, the food and drinks, but we may not believe in the underlying reason for the occasion.
The Christian story.
Yeah.
But even though a lot of that lovely community stuff is probably what Christians would say, because I have to declare I'm a lapsed Catholic here. So coming from that tradition and still at this time of year, I go, okay, I know the story, I know the situation, but there's something bigger that we're seeing happening around exactly what you're saying there, Stuart. Tanya?
Yeah. So I'm a practicing Muslim, as you know, and traditionally, Christmas is not a celebration that's practiced by Muslims. However, it's a lovely time of year, and especially for families with children, there's so much Christmas festivity around this time of year that everybody just enjoys it.
So, how do you spend it?
Well, to be honest, I don't do any. Well, speaking for my family, I don't do anything specific. I don't put up a tree. I don't share Christmas cards or share presents, but I just enjoy taking part in the happy atmosphere. It's quite enjoyable to work at that time of year, I think. I work in children's medicine in particular, and especially for the children who are feeling unwell at that time of year, it's nice working at that time of year. There's so many activities. There's a real effort to make the workplace a lovely place to be, and I just absorb that, that positive energy. It's lovely.
Do you try and recreate it the rest of the year with other traditions? That same warmth and uplifting nature of Christmas.
Yeah, I think so, to a greater or lesser extent. There are two Muslim major festivals that we celebrate. One is Eid al-Adha and one is Eid al-Fitr. You may know more about Eid al-Fitr, which is preceded by a month of fasting, the month of Ramadan. And certainly when Eid comes around at the end of that difficult month of fasting, there's a great enjoyment and festivities. It's a big family time. You go and visit family members who you may not have seen in previous times of the year. There's exchange of presents. So yes, absolutely. It's a very family orientated, warm day for us.
The same sentiments shared. Stuart?
Oh, well, just on a personal level, I take the Christmas period to go and see my family, and we all get together and have a Christmas lunch, have a Christmas dinner, watch the cricket and so forth, go to the beach. Yeah, but from a Sunday Assembly point of view, which is the other hat I wear.
Tell us about Sunday Assembly if people aren't familiar with it.
Yeah.
What is it?
So, well, Sunday Assembly, we call it an intentional community. So unlike people who might feel that they're Catholic because their parents told them that they're Catholic, or feel that they're Jewish because their parents told them that they're Jewish. We're an intentional community of people who've sort of found each other because we want to get together and embrace some of the great community aspects that organized religions have, but without necessarily the faith aspect.
What do you have? What's under your umbrella? Are they pillars? Faith loves a pillar.
Well, we've got a motto. We've got three pillars. One is live better. Number two is help often, and number three is wonder more. So I guess the flagship thing that we do here in Canberra is we have our monthly Sunday assembly event where we get in a guest speaker to give an inspirational talk about something that they do, which can help our audience to open their minds and think about how to apply that to their lives. We also sing songs, but instead of singing religious songs, we might sing pop songs. So for example, earlier this year, we had a Sunday assembly on the theme of death, and we had Dr. Philip Mischke come along, and one of the songs that we sang that month was Always Look on the Bright Side of Life by Monty Python.
The most requested funeral song, I understand.
And a lot of it's a bit like karaoke almost. So we had our theme of resilience last month, and we had Eye of the Tiger by Survivor as the song that we're all belting out together.
So. That's great. I can imagine you in the Rocky poses, the hoods up.
But I guess we realise that there are plenty of other events around town where people can get that sort of guest speaker aspect, like at lectures at the ANU or so forth. So a big thing that we do is we also try and build the community aspect. So we make sure that there's tea and cake afterwards, which is something common to a lot of religious ceremonies, to get people to talk to each other and start to plan other little things to do throughout the month together.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great idea. How's the congregation? Could we call it a congregation or assembly? What's the numbers? What numbers have we got?
This year we've seen between about 50 and 100 usually. So it's enough to drown out my bad voice when we're singing Eye of the Tiger. So
are you up there?
I'm not on the stage, but I was shaking a tambourine in the audience during that song last month.
Who comes to Sunday assembly? Who are the people that it attracts?
It's as far as ages go, it's everything from people in their, well, I guess babies are there, but for people in their 20s through to the grey-haired end of the spectrum as well. So, and I guess it's people who are really after that sort of community aspect, people who maybe they feel like a reason to leave the house on Sunday to meet other people and to do something interesting and inspiring with their time.
Now, back to Tanya, with your Muslim background and finding yourself in Australia where Christmas is in your face at this time of year, if we were back home in Bangladesh, mm-hmm. what would be, would we have the same sort of feelings around after Ramadan, the festival after Ramadan? Would the same sort of effect be happening?
I've never lived in Bangladesh myself, but certainly the month of Ramadan is a public holiday. It's like the summer holidays or the Christmas holidays. And for one side of it, it makes fasting a little easier when you don't have to get up early to go to work. But it's also a time to spend at home and enjoy family time as well. And in all honesty, like Ramadan is just a whole month of celebration because you've worked so hard during the day to fast. So for those who don't know, the tradition of Ramadan is that to fast no food, no water from dawn till dusk every day for the whole month. And so after all of that effort during the day, everybody gets together in the evening and eats lovely food, and everybody, sort of has a mini celebration at the end of the day to appreciate the effort that we put through. And then there's an accumulation of all that energy and positive religious spirit at the end of the month where we have Eid, and it's a really wonderful time. There's normally similar to Christmas, I suppose, that there's it's really a wonderful time for children. There's exchange of presents, there's lots of parties and gatherings, and there's lots of public events as well. And from my upbringing, I was born and raised in Britain, and I was born and raised in London, East London, which has a very large Muslim community. And even though we didn't have the luxury of a month off during Ramadan, so we would be fasting during the day, going to school and going to work, but that positive energy and festivity was still around for the whole month in the Muslim community in London.
Is it suffering the same blight as Christmas, where Christmas is becoming less Christian and more commercial? Is the same with Eid?
I think it's the opposite. I think the religious sentiment behind Eid and behind Ramadan is as strong as ever, if not stronger.
What do you put that down to?
I've never lived in a Muslim majority country, but certainly living and working in England and now in Australia, I think that the Muslim community has found a way to bring the strength of their religion more in a non-Muslim country. So there's almost a feeling that we have to make more of an effort to remember our the roots of our religion and focus less on the festivities and more on the spirit of the reason why we're fasting and why we celebrate at the end of the month.
Interesting. Because I think that's what a lot of the problem is for Christians, seeing their faith be watered down into this commercial celebration. Not even a celebration, just a commercial money-gathering thing. Do you take anything from the Christian tradition to snuggle into your Christmas celebrations? I see you, Stuart McMillan, sort of sniffing into the air, saying, no.
Oh, I'm trying to think of a good answer. Other than what I mentioned earlier, just about, I think it is great because we're becoming a more and more capitalistic 24/7 type economy at the moment. And it is good that this is probably the one time of year where it is acceptable to take a long break from work and without feeling guilt, spend time with your family, because we may not, if economics continues even further into eroding our social traditions like this, it may not continue. So I'm glad for the time off over summer.
Would you have put another sort of celebration somewhere in the year?
I'd put a few.
What would you be doing?
Oh,
what should we be celebrating if we're not celebrating, as another sort of aside to Christmas?
Well, I really like celebrating things that are natural, like, for example, the summer solstice and the equinoxes and the winter solstice, of course. They're things that are very relevant to our lives because the days stop getting longer, or they start getting longer, and they have a real meaning, or the changing of the seasons.
I suppose it ties in, though, isn't it? Because the Christmas is Christian but pagan, and it extends, the history extends a long way, which ties in a bit of the solstice, all those celebrations and rituals as well. Mm. What about you? What else would you put in, Tanya?
I guess Islam already has a few religious festivals of its own.
Any you'd like to chuck in out of, as well?
Yeah, well, I think the month of Ramadan is so packed full of religious sentiment. I mean, it's a lot of Muslims really come back to Islam during the month of Ramadan. So perhaps, as Stuart was saying, that there's not as much religious sentiment in your day-to-day lives these days, perhaps, because of being busy with work, being busy with just the business of being alive these days in Australia. And Ramadan is almost like a month of getting back to your roots, starting from the beginning, from a physical point of view of fasting. And it's funny that fasting seems to focus many people's minds as well to looking back at the religious texts that we have. And it's a beautiful time of the month, and it sort of resets everybody, I think, to going back to. So it's like a built-in yearly reminder. Oh, you may have forgotten over the past few months that the messages and the spirit of our religion. But here's a month that's built into your calendar to reset, and it's lovely.
I love that.
I think that's great myself. I think it's great.
What a fabulous way, and what a lovely way to end that our little discussion this morning. That's a great take-home message, regardless of your faith or background or whatever your reason for celebrating this time of year.
Mm.
Nice message.
Yes.
Thank you both.
And if you did want a way to get involved with Sunday Assembly Canberra, we're having our final event for the year next Sunday, the 18th of December. It's an afternoon event at Majura Hall in Dixon, and we're talking about the theme of connection. We've got Megan Gilmore talking about her. Well, she's getting you to think about what it would be like if you were a sick kid who couldn't go to school, because she's in the process of helping sick kids to get connected to their schoolmates with telepresence robots. So that'll be a nice one for us to hear about. So go to sundayassemblycanberra.com and RSVP for your free tickets.
Great. Thanks so much, both of you, for coming in.
Thanks,
Lish. And what do you say as the greeting around this time of year?
Hooroo.
Tanya?
Oh, well, now I'm an honorary Australian. I should say good day, I suppose.
Good day. See you later. Great. Thanks so much for coming in. That's Stuart McMillan, who's an organising committee member at the Sunday Assembly in Canberra, and Tanya Hashimi, a doctor and practising Muslim here in Canberra. Bangladeshi background, but born and raised in London. How do you celebrate Christmas if you're not of the Christian tradition? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. 0467 922 666. And your songs today. It seems that they're all a perfect radio length. This one's from Anne and Gary. She says, I love Bublé.